Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Dino Ray Ramos, and I am here with my co-host,
Amanda Nduka.
Hi, Amanda.
I feel like I haven't seen you guys in forever.
I know. it's been a minute.
Yeah,
because Amanda, you were at CinemaCon for a long time. And David, you were at Tribeca.
I went to the Tribeca Film Festival, yes.
And I was here in LA. My ratchet
but
ass was here.
You had a birthday.
Oh, yeah, it
Happy
was my
belated birthday.
I went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
I always go to Disney. Well, I try to go to Disneyland every year so I could get the free button.
To get a free button.
I'm not trying to make this about me, but I also had a birthday this
what
past
was
week.
Yours?
What was your birthday?
My birthday was April 28th, like 2 days ago.
Wow.
Wait, well, you need to make a bigger deal about this shit.
Well, it's not like it wasn't a
Wait,
big,
do I
like,
not follow you on Facebook? How did I not know it was your birthday?
I'm not on Facebook.
Okay, that's
yeah.
Did
you do? And that was big, by the way. Not getting like a, you know, cavalcade of happy birthdays for the first time because I quit Facebook last year. And I was like, how come nobody's reaching out to
that
me?
That is so sad.
Nobody
I'm
knows.
Sorry. If I knew, I just saw some people
well,
on the wall. I
also, no,
birthday.
A lot of there's a lot of April birthdays at
there
deadline because Patrick was the day before Contenders, and then Dominic was like a week before that.
Yeah,
and then yours is on the 28th, mine is on
wow.
the 18th.
So the other video producer Andrew, his is May on 2nd. Wednesday. Yeah.
But he's not.
I just
April.
Saw him
he's
on
not,
the.
He's not April though, so we can't talk about that.
But yeah, no, guys, don't feel guilty.
What
about
did you? So what did you do for?
Yeah,
your birthday?
What did you do for your birthday?
Well, it wasn't a big birthday. I just turned 30, which is not.
Oh
like
wait, that's
a
big
huge
deal.
One. But
what
yeah,
the heck
no,
is
it's
wrong
crazy.
With you?
That's one.
I went to somebody else's wedding. That's what I did on my
birthday. That is. Bullcorn.
Yeah.
But you did, so wait, but in Tribeca, for Tribeca, you went to some plays, right?
That's, yeah, I saw a play in Tribeca. Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess I can say I like treated myself
yeah,
to
treated
a birthday
yourself.
Play.
And didn't you
yeah.
do like museums and stuff?
Yeah, yeah, I went to a museum.
Okay. Wait, which one? Did you go to the Met or?
To the Brooklyn Museum. They had this great like David Bowie exhibit,
there.
Which was, yeah, it was amazing. You should definitely check it out.
And how was the play? Was it good?
Play was good. Yeah,
was
it was beautiful.
Again?
Beautiful.
Oh, it's called Beautiful.
It's called Beautiful. It's the Carole King.
Good job.
Yeah, no, the musical was like very beautiful, a Carole King story.
Yeah.
And the songs were beautiful, a Carole King story. And
it's a good one.
It just,
I saw it in San Francisco when they were, I guess it was like previewing it or whatever. When they were, it was before it went to Broadway.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, with the original, she was in Wait, She's in Rape.
Jessie Mueller.
Yes. Yeah. She was in it.
That's cool.
Well, that's cool. And then Amanda, you were at CinemaCon
Vegas
in
for
the
four
thick
days.
Of it. Four days is a lot
never,
for Vegas.
Never again will I stay in Vegas for 4 days. Like, if I don't have to. That was a lot. It was very, not necessarily overwhelming, but, like, the smoke smell.
Yeah, you forget. Yeah, you forget that they allow smoking in the casinos
everywhere.
Still.
And so, yeah, that was pretty. But I saw some really interesting clips
footage.
From upcoming movies. And for those of you guys that know what CinemaCon is, it's an exhibitor convention. All these studios come out and they present their upcoming slate to the theater owners to get them excited and I guess to beg for screens, which a lot of people were doing. But yeah, they showed the Lion King stuff. They
showed
they showed the opening, you know, the scene where he's
the
born
circle
and like
of life.
All the, they showed that and it was so beautiful. Was it
similar to what they did with Jungle Book, like that kind of like animal?
Well, this one is all CGI.
Well, so it was a it's all
no.
Wait.
Remember, but Mowgli was real.
Okay, because
yeah.
so it's all like
so it was,
motion
it was a
capture.
Hybrid. Yeah, it was all motion capture.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hear any. They just did the song and had all the animals. But the way they did it, it's gonna be interesting.
Well, Beyonce's in there.
Yeah. they had a surprise Cher performance, which was exciting.
That was for Mamma Mia.
For Mamma Mia, she came out and she performed Fernando. I guess it's the ABBA song, which I'd never heard.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I only
that's
know
really
one
song.
ABBA song,
yeah.
which is
Dancing Queen?
That's the only one I know.
There's another one, Mamma Mia.
That oh, yeah, that one too. Duh.
The titular. That's kind of special. Well, so she like surprised
everybody.
She
surprised everybody. People like kind of went crazy. It was like this Vegas. It was like a small Vegas type of show. And it was in the Coliseum where Celine Dion performed. So it was pretty cool.
So was it a big screen? Because you would hope like.
Yeah, it's a big screen. Like where they showed the thing. The
yeah, because like
yeah,
I've
no,
been to Comic-Con
screen.
And the screens are usually
no,
like,
this is, it
you know,
was
it's
huge
not small. Yeah.
The sound was like, you were, I mean, there were, because a lot of like the people, the sound, I guess, whatever, the companies came out and they were like, you know, we have this new technology and sound. So I guess they were, it was really good.
Nice.
It was really nice.
Yeah,
a lot of really good stuff to look forward to. Another thing that they showed, which is a good segue, they showed Life of the Party. Melissa, not, it didn't show Life of the Party, but Melissa McCarthy and her husband came out for a different movie, but they talked about Life of the Party too.
Which our guest,
Adria
Arjona.
Adria Arjona.
So like
they've been practicing this.
Yeah, we've been practicing. We actually talk about her name in the podcast
and how people say it.
How people say it, but Adria Arjona.
She's
our guest for this episode. She's actually we talked to her right before the release of Pacific Rim Uprising, which she's in, but she's also in Life of the Party, which comes out May 11th, and Triple Frontier, which
she's filming, or she well at the time she was getting ready to start filming
she was
that.
Getting ready to start filming
and
that.
Then she also was, which was a pretty big deal at the time, she was the first Latina
Dorothy
in Emerald City, which was pretty cool.
It was on NBC. Correct?
It was NBC. Yeah. It didn't last for more than a couple of episodes, I don't think.
I think it was one season.
But, I mean,
It was good,
and it left her, I mean, she left her mark.
Yeah.
So now she can always say she was the first person to do so.
Yes. But, yeah, so this episode is Adria Arjona. I hope I'm saying that right. So without further ado, here she is.
Deadline podcast. So we just want to start from the beginning. Where did you get your inspiration to act?
Oh, that's such a hard question. My dad's a musician, so I kind of grew up on a tour bus kind of going all over Latin America and Central America. So it was a lot of time of being bored. And my dad's a poet and also a musician, so he would also always like motivate us to tell stories through music. And that's kind of like the first time that I felt like I wanted to tell stories because I was very shy when I was little. And then because I was so shy, they put me into dancing to kind of make me break out a little. And I just fell in love with the stage, fell in love with the stage. And I was always like the odd kid in my classroom or in like, well, growing up, I was never like the popular kid because I was so quiet. And my dad was like, do you want to take acting classes? And I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love and I got a bug in my head and I felt like I could be me, but with masks.
Yeah.
And that I kind of really loved that concept. And then that was that. And then
The rest is history.
That sounds very familiar. Yeah.
But it's definitely not one thing that I say, I always knew it ever since I was little that I wanted to be an actress.
I never believe when people say they've always known that they want to be an
actor. And then when people say, I've been acting since I was 1 month old, that's when I'm all, come on.
Dude.
You were a blob and you were just on camera.
Talking to you, right?
Like, that's like beginnings of schizophrenia, my dear.
Like, I've been acting since I was a baby. No, you haven't.
You can't.
You don't know what you're doing when you're a baby.
You don't even know where your nose is when you're a baby.
Doing faces does nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So when you first got in the business, what kind of roles were you auditioning for? Or what kind of roles were you being offered?
That face already.
I know.
Have you looked at my face? I'm as Hispanic as it gets. I was auditioning for prostitutes, for maids, for kind of all sorts of roles. I went to method acting school, which, you know, I studied my butt off for 2.5 years, conservatory. I had no life. Yeah. It was from 9 to 10 at night to then go out in the world and kind of be offered these roles, which was kind of frustrating. But I think I had a good head on my shoulders, thanks to my family, that I kind of always said no to those roles.
Oh, good.
And I kind of started going into like even the secretary. I was like, okay, well, this is kind of cool. And then the only prostitute I really did was Narcos, but it was because I was an informant and I just felt like I was being a part of something that was a little bigger, which was telling the story of this huge evil man. So it kind of justified it for me. So I was able to say yes. But no, that was in the back of my head always. I knew that I had to say no to these to these roles.
Mm-hmm. Was there like a certain performer that you looked up to?
I had so many. Kim Stanley, I don't know if you guys know her. She's like a huge theater actress. I think back in the 60s. Don't quote me. I don't necessarily know, but I would watch a lot of her videos when I was in school, and she was just so raw and full of life when she performed, and so truthful. She was a big inspiration for me. But you know, I had from Jenna Rollins. Jenna Rollins is like my idol and my favorite actress. Yes. You have Meryl Streep. You have all these kind of actresses, but would I say that I had like a Hispanic one? Unfortunately. No.
It's hard.
I didn't, which really put me to think. I was like, man, I wonder now, you know, a little girl or a 15-year-old that now is looking up and saying like, oh, I want to be an actress. Now they have a little bit more of, you have like, Gina Rodriguez, who's doing freaking incredible, to say, wow, I'm going to be, I can be like her.
Exactly.
That's really cool. I don't think I had it. I have Penelope Cruz was definitely one of them. She's from Spain. She's not Puerto Rican. She's not like, I don't know if they like being considered. So, but I definitely, Penelope Cruz was a huge inspiration for me too.
Yeah, that's pretty, it's sad that like we kind of are hearing that a lot. Like a lot of people don't, like people of color, especially like a certain generation didn't have certain people to look up to like for acting, which is sad, but it's changing, which
is good.
Which is always good. So you were on the show Emerald City.
I was.
You were, which is a very different take on Wizard of Oz for those of people who didn't know. And it was very diverse, that show. And you, as far as we know, your character was the first Latina bilingual Dorothy. I think.
I feel like that you're it's safe to say that you were.
I keep saying I am.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think that there's
unless
any...
there was like a low budget production
that nobody
of Wizard
knew,
of Oz,
like, yeah, in maybe like a high school production or something. But
yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that in the mainstream.
Which was a huge thing for representation and inclusion. But of course, there's like always more that could be done and needs to be done. And then recently, the National Hispanic Media Coalition, they protested during the Oscars, excuse me, about lack of Latino representation. What are your feelings about the current state of Latino representation in Hollywood and TV and film?
Do we have an hour? No, seriously, I think that me being an actress, I could say that. I think that the problem lies a little bit further away than people really realize. I think the problem lies with the actual opportunities that these Hispanic writers and directors and actors are able to get. I mean, if you don't have a Latino or Hispanic executive, you're not going to go very far because they're obviously going to pick, even if one is a little less experienced, because obviously a Latino has not been put in that situation that often. So if I were to be an executive and I had a Latino and I had an American who has had way more stuff in their resume, but they're kind of equal, maybe the white is, maybe should I be calling them white? That's so rude.
No,
I'm so sorry, but
white.
I don't know how to say it.
It's white.
You can say white. Yeah. We say it.
The white is a little bit more experienced and better per se. I as an executive would pull this Latino and say, hey buddy, you're going to need a little help with this, but if I don't do it, no one else is going to do it. And that's how you kind of start leveraging things out. That's me in my opinion, because I see it so often where, you know, you have an incredible script by a Latino and then an incredible script by another ethnicity, and they're always going to go the other way. But it's because we haven't had the opportunity to show what we can do. And if this Latino doesn't have this script, then it means that, you know, me as a Latina, I may not have a part. And that's kind of changing. You see more and more movies coming out that they have roles for Hispanics, but it's beautiful to see a Hispanic write for another Hispanic. I think it does it more justice.
I think recently, like I was covering something and Spike Lee was speaking and he was like, you know, not everybody can be in front of the camera. And the fact of the matter is we need more people behind the camera.
Yes.
And in the
that
C-suite.
Making those choices.
So it's like, he was just basically encouraging people because a lot, you know, everybody wants to be in front of the camera and wants like that, like, I guess that spotlight. But I'm like, in order for us to get there, we also need people behind the scenes too. And I thought that was just really like, that was really interesting. An interesting take.
Even crew members.
Exactly.
Below the line
like
people,
I don't see a lot of crew members that are Hispanic.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are they not going to learn how to deal with the camera, how to deal with being on set, if they don't get the opportunity? So I think it goes way more than just acting and showing people, yes, we're changing the world. No, it's a little bit, you need to give jobs to a lot other people, so then it kind of affects
And I think we are seeing more, a lot of Latino representation on television, but I think it is film, which is kind of the obstacle that a lot of people of color and women are facing, because we have One Day at a Time and
Rita Moreno.
Oh my god,
and I just got goosebumps.
I love how you said her name too.
Yeah, I say Rita Moreno and then yours is all beautiful.
I know, right?
I just butcher. No, but we have like Gina Rodriguez. And then that upcoming they showed at South by Southwest called Vida, we have all these shows, but like, film needs to catch up with TV.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what was interesting is like whenever the Oscar So White thing happened, people made it like a black and white thing, but it's like the diversity is not just about black
and white.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's weird how Latinos and
brown,
Asians
and
they're never really in the conversation. It's always like, you know, the opposite is like you the white people versus like the black people.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's a lot of ethnicities in the fights for all the ethnicities, not just
April
one.
Rain, who was responsible, who started the Oscar So White campaign, she's openly said it's not just black and white. It's like for everyone. It's for the LGBT community.
Yes.
It's for females. It's for even like disabled. And it's just like kind of covering all ground. Mm-hmm. We could talk about that for hours.
I got two words, inclusion. I'm
inclusion writer.
Yes, girl, yes.
Right. Inclusion writer.
That was so incredible.
I know, that was right. So I just want to pivot to your movie. It's Pacific Rim Uprising.
Uprising.
Yeah. Which intense. Which, you know what, I have to say that's not my genre of film, but I really like this film. Like, I mean, I took my sister and she hadn't even seen the first one. She was like, this was really good. And I was like, this is so just talk about how you came on board with this project.
I came on board by auditioning.
Okay.
Really,
like the traditional way.
The traditional way. This role was not offered to me.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
definitely not. I went into the audition and I thought I like bombed it. Like, I was like, I did terrible. Probably bombs it means good, right? No, not good.
Not the bomb.
I went out and I was like, oh man, I don't think I did really well. Mm-hmm. And then my manager called me and goes, well, you have a meeting with the director in 2 days. So I was like, wait, what? That means it's kind of like a step further. And it just kind of happened super fast. I met with him and then kind of right then and there, he was like, all right, well, when you come to Australia, I was like, did you just give me the wrong?
Oh, they just like casually slipped it in.
Oh, wow. And then they officially said it, you know, maybe like a week later, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. I really loved the character. And I was so excited about it, which is the reason I think I thought that I did so bad. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want this so bad. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of blew it in my mind.
So what attracted you to this character? Because I know like some people describe, I mean, some of the, when I see it, some of it's described as a love interest, but she's not just a love interest. Like it's a lot.
She is, and I like the fact that it is a love interest, but it's a different one than I think that we've seen. It's these two guys chasing her as opposed to this girl chasing them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's super independent. She's great at what she does, and she understands that the lives of these two pilots are on her hands. So she can't be messing around, flirting, and
that's what I loved. Yeah, she was definitely like very independent, very strong, very smart, and like she just kind of like had her eyes on the prize and wasn't even like distracted.
She was handling her business.
Yeah, I was like, let me tell you what's going on.
Exactly.
And then these two guys were the ones with stars in their eyes. Like, oh, no, I was joking. But was the role like ethnic specific? Like, was it written as like all any open, you know, open to any ethnicity or? How was it presented to you?
You know what? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I want to think that it wasn't and that I won it. But I honestly, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would imagine that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Let's just go with how it should be.
That I had to earn it.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I loved her. I loved your character. It was, she was great.
You have Pacific Rim Uprising. And then what else do you have coming up in the pipeline for you?
I have
a rap album.
I wish. They used to call me Eminem when I was young.
Oh, wait, are you a rapper?
No. I'm not going to rap, but I used to love rapping. They didn't call me. I called myself Eminem. And then until someone said it was too close to an enema.
Uh-huh.
And I changed my name. It's like, that's not cute.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm not a rap album. But I have Life of the Party with Melissa McCarthy.
Oh my God, that looks so fun.
That looks really good.
And it was so much fun to film as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have an Amazon and BBC show called Good Omens with Michael Sheen and David Tennant and John Hamm.
Oh my God.
And yeah, I mean, it's that one's going to be really cool too. And then I have Triple Frontier that I just got announced. Finally talk about it.
We announced it, didn't we?
I know. That's like Mike's, like, he's been tracking that project.
So. Yeah, yeah. That's exciting.
So that is really exciting.
Really exciting. And that has like, best looking cast I've ever seen.
Oh my god. And yes. You're in it.
I know, right?
No. I'm gonna disclude myself because that's a little bit too much to handle. Like, come on. All of them in one room.
What is currently on your Netflix?
Hulu Amazon.
Or Amazon, whatever your streaming platform, your go-to streaming
Friends.
Platform.
Oh.
Really?
Are you just like, what season are you on right now?
Okay, I'm gonna make a huge confession.
Uh-oh.
I hadn't watched Friends.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. I'm so sorry. Until
deadline exclusive. Yes, no, I'm joking.
Until everyone was like, this has to change. So I've been watching Friends for the past like 2 months, and it's great because I've been working like crazy, and it's something light to like come home and watch and just watch people interact that make you laugh. So that's what I've been watching. Wow. And only watching.
Oh.
Well, I did watch all the Oscar movies.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. What Friends is what's on your plate right now?
Yes.
What season are you on?
I'm on the fourth.
Okay.
What happens in the fourth? Like, what was the last episode you watched?
Maybe this is gonna be a spoiler, but Ross and Rachel just broke up.
Okay,
they just broke up.
Okay,
Ross made love with the woman in the
copy
machine.
Oh, this was like the watershed moment.
Yeah,
for that show.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm experiencing that like how many years later?
Because that was like a 1998.
That was the biggest debate. Like, oh, they were on a break or did they break up? It's still like the biggest debate.
Come on,
some stuff on that show doesn't hold up that well.
Yeah,
well, that's for another conversation. But no, you're in a good spot.
Yeah,
good
so that's spot. What I'm watching. I'm being really boring.
No, that's not boring. That's fun. Do you have a hidden talent? If so, what is it?
Oh, I can whistle in a really weird way.
Really?
Weird way.
Since this is audio, a podcast.
Yeah. Can I?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna blow up. Okay, it's fine. Oh my god.
And is that helpful for hailing cabs? And calling dogs.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
That's my to-go sporting event.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I can't whistle at all, and I'm not even going
to
try.
Yeah. I'll teach you.
It'll sound good. Okay, cool. So this is a Pacific Rim
related
question. So if you had your own Jaeger, what would it look like? And on top of that, who would you, in Hollywood, would you want to drift with?
Anyone in Hollywood.
Anyone in Hollywood.
Anyone in Hollywood.
Yeah. Who would be your code drifter?
Okay. It would be similar to Gypsy Avenger, mm-hmm. with a little bit more of color, mm-hmm. and I would want it to sway its hips.
Yeah. Oh.
That would be really cool. And I would like to drift with Joaquin Phoenix, because I think that'll be a hell of a ride.
Sequel.
Imagine getting in that man's head. Wow,
yeah,
I'm obsessed with
that.
Him,
that would be really interesting.
He is an interesting fellow.
He comes from an interesting family.
I like how you said you want your Jaeger hips to sway.
That's
great. It's like swing like a dancer.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. And finally, we always ask this to all of our guests: is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it be an actor, director, producer, storyteller, anyone who is not in the mainstream that you think deserves more time in the spotlight or deserves more recognition?
There's so many.
Yeah, there's so many.
It's like,
I'm going to go with a person that I love and admire, mm-hmm. and her name is Stephanie Sigmund. Mm-hmm. She's in SWAT, the
okay.
TV show.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
And I just think she's such a powerhouse of a woman, and I met her filming Narcos, and I was the baby, and she kind of took me under her wing, and until today, she's always been there. Whenever I needed her, she's ahead of any politics that happens. She's kind of the one that always lets me know what's going on in the world. And she makes sure to share it with, you know, with her fans on Instagram. I think she should definitely be more in the spotlight.
Cool.
Great. Thank you.
Well, Adria Arjona. Adria Arjona.
He's been practicing.
I'm practicing. I'm probably butchering the hell out of that. But thank you so much for coming on the New Hollywood Podcast. You're great.
Thank you
very much.